Please listen carefully.
Well, hello, universe, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I am Summers McKay.
And we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media, social media, and the direction of your day to one focus on solutions.
7 days a week. Even national holidays. We publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, and a friend gave me a recommendation. We should say work-worthy because people listen to the radio or podcast while they're working. So work-worthy podcast. Today is Monday, the 7th of September, 2020. Well, Christy, happy extra Sunday. How are you?
I'm fine. Well, this is our labor of love, Summers, right? So yes. It's okay to work on the podcast on Labor Day, I think.
Yes. And, you know, it's interesting because there are a lot of people who don't get Labor Day off, right? Stores are open. Essential workers are working. It's just funny because when you have a traditional office job, which in many ways the Optimist Daily has its traditional office components, one assumes that, you know, certain holidays and certainly our support team and our tech team would assume that they would have the same sort of Labor Day that everyone else has. On the other hand, our editorial team is profoundly aware that the news does not stop and it is rare that we don't publish. And it's also a big day for readers because people are at home. Anyway, it's funny. I am admittedly taking a bit of a shortened day. I'm going to wrap up work by about 1:30 today. And my family and I are going to go hop on a little tiny boat and cruise around the canals by our house. But, you know, there are a lot of people who don't have today off. And we are here in solidarity with all of you, offering inspiration and optimism. Christy, you also have kind of a shortened week, right? Things are changing for you this week.
Well, I mean, a shortened in one way in terms of shortened in staying in my own house, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be a shortened work week necessarily. I'm not planning to take any days off, even though I am making the physical transition from my house to the house that I'm renting on the 10th of September. So I will be starting my quarantine that night, and I will have a quiet time with just me and my friend and our kids, and we'll be just having a couple weeks of home time, and I will be, you know, not with my husband or with my dog or with the outside world in preparation of going into a week of living with my extended family.
Right, right. This is kind of a fascinating thing because, you know, for your extended family who has abided by incredibly strict quarantine because it's preserving a population where there's a lot of older people, right? And describe a little bit of, if you're open to it, describe a little bit on, like, what does your extended family's living situation look like and why is it so important that you do abide and honor by this quarantine?
Well, I grew up and I am a part of a large group of friends who are sort of family also. I mean, it is family and friends, and we've been sort of sharing our lives in more than the normal way over the last 40 years. We had an apartment complex that we all owned and lived in together when I was a kid growing up. We've sailed around the world together. We've started businesses together. And so we have a ranch property here near Santa Barbara, which right now it's an oasis of human contact. But in order to continue the sort of more communal type of living situation or where you're actually living with more than just four or five people in a normal household type of thing like you have, or just with like three or four people in a household like mine, they are maintaining very, very strict relationship with the outside world. So anybody who has to go out for a doctor's appointment or whatever from the ranch, which is what I call it. Basically, they do a 2-week period of quarantine before they go back in because there are so many people who are older or immunocompromised. And also just, you know, in the normal times, in the before times, if anybody gets a cold, pretty much everybody gets it. Just like,
how like any household.
Any household, right? Yeah. But when you have a household with a high number of people, that's a much higher number of people. And so it's just to be able to maintain a little sliver of our normal and more community-oriented lifestyle, we've had to put these pretty strong boundaries with the outside world, which is very unusual. And Yeah. It means that my husband is still working. I'm still out in the world. I haven't really been there to, you know, hug some of my best friends for some time. And that's what I'm doing.
Well, I think definitely, you know, things are changing and people's behavior is changing. And as kind of entering this next season, right, as fall is upon us, I even found my own behavior sort of inexplicably changing. This past weekend, we went down to the beach. I took Brennan down to the beach in the mornings because she likes high activity mornings now. And she just kind of runs straight to the ocean, right? This child is Moana 2.0. And I cannot keep her out of water. And so I texted a friend of mine and I said, who and where could I get private swim lessons for Brennan? Because I have to get her water safe. And there has to be a teacher somewhere and there has to be a private home somewhere where we could somehow do safe water safety lessons. And as I was reviewing it and typing it up, I realized, like, this is not quarantine behavior, right? So I'm struggling with knowing that I need to keep my daughter safe because we do go to friends' pools and we do go to the ocean, and I need a professional to help me teach her to swim. But then I also have to weigh the benefit of breaking quarantine, in essence, by letting somebody else into our family pod, you know, letting somebody else who's not in our pod hold our daughter and get right up in her face, because that's part of what swimming is. So anyway, it's just a really interesting time, because I think what I anticipate is some people will start sort of breaking down some of the boundaries of quarantine simply because of sheer exhaustion.
Yeah. And that's a little bit worrisome. And that's exactly what I think the danger is and the worry is as the fall comes on. It's not easy to live the way that we've been living for the last few months.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I think it's wonderful. I loved your description of the ranch as this oasis of human contact. I'm like, I want to be in an oasis of human contact. Do they have a swim instructor? should we take 2 weeks quarantine, the baby and I, so we can join? But I think it's going to be a really lovely chapter for you. And I think definitely as you are doing your writing and your reading and thinking all about the space that you're going to create by just going back into a space that is very familiar. So speaking of familiar spaces, the Optimist Daily today, Emissary Solutions News, 10 great solutions. What in your morning coffee read inspired you?
Well, there's several really great stories in today's top solutions, but the one that kind of stood out to me and amused me was the headline reads, "This eucalyptus-based hoodie can be composted in your garden," from the design section on the Optimist Daily. And as you know, and listeners to the podcast know, I've been doing some closet cleaning in the last few weeks, like clearing out the clutter that is my closet. Honestly, I haven't actually tackled my drawers yet, but still, it felt so good to get rid of a lot of stuff. But all those clothes.
What did you do with this stuff?
Well, it's still sitting. I haven't actually donated it yet.
Okay.
I'm planning to donate it. I actually will try to get that done this week because there's a lot of fantastic clothes there. There's some really good work things that I want to donate to the Unity shop, but I also want to do it in a safe way. Anyway, the reason I love this story is the idea that you could have a t-shirt or a sweatshirt and use it, and then put it in your compost. And within weeks, it turns into dirt. I just think that's fantastic. That is like the best circular economy kind of clothing that I can imagine. And so this is about a company called Volbak. It's a Dutch clothing startup. Mm-hmm. Last year, we wrote about them because they have started making t-shirts that you can bury in your backyard once you're done with them. And those shirts are made entirely out of wood pulp and algae, and they break down in soil and become, quotes, worm food within just a few months. Those t-shirts are still available at Volbak, but now they have created a hoodie made out of eucalyptus trees dyed with pomegranate. And just like the t-shirt, the hoodie will be biodegradable and will biodegrade within 8 weeks if you put it into a compost heap. It's the intensity of the heat and the bioactivity in those that composting kinds of soil.
Right. You can't
soil.
Just throw it in your garden. You
exactly.
have to go through the composting
You actually have to
process.
Put it in a compost. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This story just sparked my imagination and I just felt like, talk about natural clothing.
I know. Well, one of the things I love about this story is that the company's inspiration came from one of the earliest known humans who was found preserved in ice for over 5,000 years.
Otzi man.
Exactly. Otzi man, whose clothing was made from plants, tree bark, grass, and animal skins. And so that's where they got the idea. They're like, all right, well, what's the modern version of earliest man's clothing? And eucalyptus, it's a pretty great plant. Eucalyptus and bamboo are both pretty ubiquitous. They're not super exhaustive to the land. So that's why we see.
They're also very fast growing.
Exactly. And, very fast growing, high turnover.
Yeah. And so the fiber you can get out of that type of material could be used to make clothes, clearly, as this company has shown. And the hoodies are made of eucalyptus and beechwood, and they use a closed loop production process, which is also super important. So over 99% of the water and solvent that are used to turn the pulp into fiber is recycled and reused. So it really is trying to bring the circular economy ethos and practices into the actual production of this clothing, as opposed to fast fashion, right, which is right, so polluting in the process of creating that. This actually is trying to be green from the start to the finish.
Well, I love it. I also love that your clothing is still in bags at your house, because so is mine. And that's part of why I have not continued to get stuff out of my closet, because if I get it out of my closet, I put it in a bag and then it's just like in the baby zone, which is pretty much what we call the house. So getting stuff to donate safely is the next step in getting our closets cleaned out. And then once our closets are all cleaned out, let's just commit to only buying good for the world clothing, including stuff that can grow strawberries or cilantro.
Yeah. And so what's the story that like sparked you today, Summers? Because I think
all right, well,
you have a slightly different take on the world than I do.
I'm just going to go with shameless adorable. I mean, there were plenty of very heady, very intelligent, wonderful stories, and we'll touch base on those with the headlines, but I am feeling kittens. I know that will come as no surprise to Amelia. The headline reads, critically endangered wildcat kittens born at a wildlife park in Scotland. So one of Europe's most elusive and endangered mammals is the Scottish wildcat. And basically these animals have become endangered because of loss of habitat as well as breeding with feral domestic cats. And wonderful news, these darling endangered kittens, one male and three females, were born during lockdown and are part of this conservation project called Saving Wildcats. So adorable pictures, great story, baby animals. It also reminded me of another amazing baby animal story that I read this weekend from a friend of mine who is a filmmaker, who is out currently filming the killer whale pod. And there was the killer whale who carried her calf for quite some time after.
Oh, yeah, I saw that too.
Passed away. And she just gave birth. And the baby seems to be healthy and she's healthy. So it was kind of a baby animals mourning for me of orcas giving birth and baby kittens. And I just am feeling conservation, feeling wildlife. We're currently looking for another place to live. And one of the houses we went to was kind of up in the hills, ended up not really being the right space for us. But I just thought, you know, there are just like wild cats everywhere here. And then it got me thinking that Cleo and my kittens probably wouldn't be very safe. But anyway, I'm just feeling the wildlife, you know, wildlife is precious.
Well, I was telling you about my friend who her quarantine project, she's got a bunch of trail cameras. She lives on a pretty good property up in the Los Padres National Forest. She's been collecting just wildlife sightings, and she's actually been able to record a baby bear. Speaking of baby animals, bobcats and coyotes and weasels and just lots of really interesting wildlife that you would never know was out there. I think there's a skunk in there too, but
skunks you know are out there.
You know they're out there. Yeah,
they don't hide.
Yeah, but speaking of animals, I loved today's lead headline as well, which is about how the world's lonely. My tongue is not cooperating this morning, but the world's loneliest elephant is set to leave the zoo for a better home. And when we're all here stuck in our own enclosures, not getting to have as much normal contact, this sad story is possibly going to be getting a happier ending, because this elephant, Kavan, who lost his elephant partner in a Pakistani zoo, which is not doing so great, in 2012 and has been living on his own without any other elephant companionship, he's finally getting relocated to a better facility where there are going to be some more elephants. And if you think about it, elephants are a very social animal. So I feel so horrible to think about this poor elephant by himself for so long.
And this calls into question sort of the value of zoos and
I know.
The challenge, right? And there are conservation and conservation behavior and animal protection really can come from zoos. But it also has to be really managed and really overseen. Yeah. And animal activists are the folks who should be running zoos, right? Like conservationists should be running zoos, not capitalists. And I can't wait to take Brennan to a zoo because we have really good, really generous, really happy, spacious zoos in the areas where we live.
On the other hand, Summers, I mean, this lockdown and the lack of people going in tourism has really impacted our zoo facilities because so much of their revenue comes from visitors, which aren't happening over this whole summer. So in this particular zoo in Pakistan, it was just a failing business.
Exactly.
And when you get that, you end up with these animals that are totally dependent upon getting fed by the humans who are supposed to be taking care of them. So I feel like there's a real morality question.
Exactly. Around zoos. Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's some other great headlines, and I think we can certainly go into ZooGate ourselves because, it's tough. But the other headlines I think that are great on the Optimist Daily today, there is a headline that reads, "These companies will give employees paid leave to work the polls." We're going to actually talk to our stakeholder and find out whether or not we can do that. There is public transportation is now free for Parisians under 18. Although, are we supposed to be on public transportation? I don't know. How are they doing in France?
Well, they're doing much better than we are.
Okay.
And there's ways to do it safely. But I think it's good to make it free also as much as we can. There's a headline study suggesting microdosing LSD could provide pain relief. That's positive news. Sea Clear Project is taking ocean cleanups to the underwater level, not just staying on the surface, but actually trying to clear out the ground of the ocean, which is a massive undertaking. Wonderful story there. Unilever is investing 1 billion euros in making its cleaning products fossil fuel free. Unilever in general is a very good company, very bold and focused on net zero emissions. The Grand Canyon's oldest vertebrate tracks have been discovered in a fallen boulder. That's an interesting one for anyone who's interested in the evolution of species. It's sort of fun to see fossil footprints that date back 313 million years.
Yep. That was way before the first man and his tree bark outfit.
Definitely. Yep. And then finally, there's a futuristic city that's being designed with an eye for sustainability and resilience. And that's still in the design phase. That's a Barcelona-based architecture firm, Huillard Architects. And so it's just interesting to think about how do you design for sustainability, resilience, and creating these self-sufficient cities of the future, which I think is a good way to go.
Well, guys, we got to wrap up today because as much fun as it is to chat with you, Christy and I do have a team meeting to head to. So thank you for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
And please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. And for just $5 a month, you can help support reader-funded independent journalism and be a part of the solution-changing consciousness that addresses our world's biggest challenges with that problem-solving mindset. Let's keep The Optimist Daily free to everyone who needs it, supported by those who can.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great extra Sunday.
Thanks, Summers. And bye, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.